Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper.
Hello, Haley.
How are you?
Good. Super good.
Good, good, good. Well, last episode we discussed liver function. I think we should just go into the kidneys.
You know, it's a logical thing because the kidneys are a very metabolically active part of our body. You know, the liver is really the most metabolically active.
The superstar, the MVP.
Yeah, and it's the hottest part of our body. You know, our body tends to be 98.6 degrees, but if you actually just measure the liver alone, it tends to run around 103, 104, maybe up to 105, depending on what's going on. That's hot. That's the hottest part of your body because there's just a lot of action going on. Your kidneys are another hot spot.
And you have two. Why?
For extra capacity. You know, it's interesting. That's a very good question, by the way. Because
you don't have two of any other organ. You should have two livers, I would think.
The liver's got this amazing ability to regenerate, and the kidneys do not. A lot of what the kidneys do depends on architecture. Where the liver, the architecture's easy. You got a blood vessel on one side and a bile duct on the other side, and then the cells are just kind of jumbled in between. Whereas in the, it's a super simple architecture. Whereas in the kidney, there is all this complicated stuff to sieve out the white blood cells and the red blood cells and have the liquid part of your blood leave, go through the filtration system, and then be returned back only the clean parts. Let me explain.
Yeah.
So the way the kidney works is it's got this cell that forms this ball that's like a sieve. It's got lots of slots. Slot, 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 slot. This is called a glomerulus is the name of it. And so the blood comes in on one side. All the liquid stuff in the blood, all the, you know, protein with the juices and the plasma and serum, all that stuff, goes through these sieves, comes out the other side, and gets collected by a tube. What's retained on this side are the hunks, which are the cells.
Yes.
We don't want to lose the cells. We don't want the cells to go in the tube. We need to keep the cells on this side. And so it does. And then more fluid comes, washes those cells out, and then new cells and new fluid gets drained out, and gallons of liquid get filtered like this every day. Gallons. Now, you don't make gallons of urine.
No.
But you're filtering gallons of fluid out of your blood because all the fluid in your blood is getting washed through the system. So how the heck do we get not pee out gallons of blood? Turns out that long tube, now it's not long, you know, compared to like from here to San Francisco long, but you know, for your body, it's a skinny little tube. It's pretty long.
Yeah.
That tube has absorbing cells that run the full length of it. And those cells, the glomeruli, are on the outside of your kidneys. And those tubes, each and every one of them, dive down deep into the kidney and then come back out again. And the reason why they do that is the deeper in the kidney you go, the more concentrated the urine is. And then the more concentrated it is, the more of your body's able to concentrate your urine and pull the water out. So it's a concentrating system. That's what this whole thing is set up for. So the cells are, they're experts at grabbing a hold of salt and pulling it out. Salt, 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 salt. Because we want our salt. Uh-huh. We need our salt. Mm-hmm. When we used to be cavemen living out in the bushes, there's not much salt out there.
No.
Salt's in short supply. Mm-hmm. That's why you want to, you know, attract animals. You put a salt lake out.
Right.
And then the animals find, woo, there's salt. So they come and lick it. And then you could shoot them or something, whatever you want, right? There's always something. Anyway, we live in Alaska where you kill things.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the cells, they pull salt out. Now, also, there's other good stuff in blood that we don't want to let go.
Iron? Like,
yeah, iron. That's right. Except the iron's mostly locked up in proteins. It's not free iron. It's all caged up. But we want to pull those protein cages in, too. Mm-hmm. So protein is absorbed. Protein, protein, protein. It's absorbed like crazy. So if the system runs well, there's going to be very little salt, maybe none, left in the urine. Maybe a speck here and there, but not much. The vast majority of salt gets reabsorbed. And there's not going to be any protein at all. every last little speck of protein is going to be absorbed with maybe micro tiny bits of that are barely measurable, but for our purposes, all the proteins are reabsorbed and all the sugar. Same thing. It's all pulled back in. So the fluid from the blood that's got all the nasty bits in it, you know, broken down cells and toxic stuff and all kinds of horrible things, they need to be, you know, taken out. And so what there is are not actually taken out. Uh-huh. Everything is dumped. Good and bad and indifferent. Everything is dumped. And our body pulls the good stuff back in and leaves the bad stuff there. And so it goes down. Eventually, the water gets pulled out by the concentrated solutes on the outside. This whole loop of Henle thing, I won't go into that too much detail. But anyways, there's a system set to concentrate urine. And then it gets collected up. All the little tubules come up into bigger tubules, Eventually, it goes down into your bladder, gets stored, so we don't have to leak urine all the time, drip, drip, drip. Uh-huh. And then we can wait till, you know, the appropriate time to say, whoop, I got enough exudate. Mm-hmm. And I need to go micturate. Medical school is great. Learning all these fancy words.
You get these cute little terms.
So, anyways, that's how the whole thing works. Works like that. And so this is great because you get to absorb all the good stuff and re-pull it in and you get rid of all the bad stuff and everything's hunky-dory. Now, if the system goes bad, it can go bad any one of these places. If the glomerula goes bad, remember it's set up like a little sieve.
Yes.
And what happens is the sieve bits break out and now you get big holes. You see that? I see your whole head through that hole. Cells can go through.
Oh.
And so if you get a sick glomerulus, you get, in the more big words, glomerular nephritis. That means the glomerulus and the kidney got sick. Guidus. Yeah. What happens is they break.
Yeah.
They fall apart. Their cells, they got membranes and they just don't work right. And boop, they fall apart. Now you got yo big old hole, and then all the cells just fall down in this thing and the whole thing doesn't work. And eventually what the body will do is it'll scar it up.
Mm.
Now maybe it could heal it. Mostly not. If it breaks enough, it's dead. That glomerulus, the whole apparatus, is offline, never to be seen again. Now, that sucks. How the heck are we going to live? Yeah, we got another one. It turns out that we have 90% over what we need. We only need 10% of what we got. You follow
that?
Really? Yeah, that's how much excess we got built into the system. Now, I'm not saying if
you're... Well, that means it's important, then.
I'm not saying if you had only 10% of your two kidneys left that you would be hunky-dory.
No.
You would be barely alive.
We've seen patients
This is not happiness and joy.
10, 11% kidney function.
But you still can live. We've actually seen patients down to 6% kidney function.
Yeah.
And they still were hanging together pretty nicely. You get a little wobbly.
Mm-hmm. You get faint, colored.
Yeah, and you get your brain gets addled. People don't do well if they're running on 6% kidney function.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about this. The number we're shooting for is 15. If you are down to 15% kidney function, you should go on dialysis.
Yes.
And dialysis is where they run your blood through a filter that they've made. You know, it's a machine.
Yes.
And it works like a kidney. What it does is it filters out the big stuff and lets the toxic stuff go. It doesn't work near as well as a regular kidney. Just, it doesn't. But it'll dilute the nasty bits is what it manages to do. And so what happens with people on dialysis is they stay alive. Dialysis is a fabulous invention. I cannot stress how much in support of dialysis I am. I think it's absolutely fabulous. Let me be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got a bad rap, because what happens when people go on dialysis, they feel bad. And it tends to wear them out, and they tend not to feel well as they do.
They feel bad because of the...
It doesn't do as good a job as their kidneys did to begin with. That's the problem. We have not invented the perfect artificial kidney. It's better than it's ever been. We are lucky to live in the modern times we
do. So do they take all the blood out of the body, or do they take it out through a circulation pump that pumps it through the system and then back into the body?
It depends.
Okay.
Sometimes if it... Okay, there's two kinds of dialysis. We're not doing a dialysis show. There's two kinds of dialysis. There's peritoneal dialysis, where all this takes place inside your digestive system. And then because the fluid goes in there and gets reabsorbed, and so it happens in your guts. Then there's the, which is a gentle, slow, do it while you're asleep kind of dialysis. Then there's the part where you go to the dialysis center and you actually get hooked up to the machine.
Yeah.
They pull blood out of an artery, run it through the machine, and then they put it back in the artery.
Okay.
And the blood going out is high in toxins, urea being one of the key ones.
Uh-huh.
And then when it comes back in, it's low in toxins,
uh-huh.
urea being one of the key ones that are taken out. And so then you're better.
Mm-hmm.
Your blood is better. You feel better. The tricky thing about this is getting the salt balance right. It's tricky. It's hard to do. Magnesium balance is oftentimes tricky. Phosphates are tricky. They tend to pile up. And so what you end up having to do, and also acids tend to pile up. Yeah, and acids tend to pile up too. Your acids tend to get too high. So in order to get the whole system to run better, you have to take stuff. And there's acid binders, and there's phosphate binders, and there's magnesium enhancement, and there's a bunch of other kind of stuff to do. We can talk about treatment here in a little bit, but let me just say that dialysis is fabulous, but problematic. It's hard to get it adjusted just right. And it'll really, 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 really help you in the short run. I mean, it's just amazing. And in the long run, it's just really hard to get it to work perfectly. And people can do it. There's people have been on dialysis for, you know, decades. But it's those people are exceptional.
People
and they,
have
they're
been
really,
on dialysis
really,
for decades?
Yeah.
They and continue to go and get
yes.
treatment?
Yes.
And at what point do they get a kidney transplant?
As soon as possible, because the kidneys work better.
Yeah.
So if you got a choice between doing long-term dialysis or getting a kidney, you should go for the kidney. Here's
uh-huh.
the thing. Kidneys are in short supply.
True.
Most people don't want to give up one.
And if you're getting a transplant, can you just get one?
That's all you get.
Okay.
No one ever gets two kidneys for a transplant.
So
it's
people with
one.
Like 15%, 10% kidney function really only have one operating kidney at that point?
Well, they have... you know, 15 or 10% of the two kidneys, but I mean, whatever the number is, it comes out to of the total.
Okay.
Is only that 15%.
That percentage, yeah.
Now, 15% is enough where you actually feel pretty good. I mean, you're basically normal-ish. Maybe, you know, there's a little wobble going on here.
What
your acid balance is not great.
What tests do you take to see your kidney levels?
Say that again?
What tests do you take?
There's two tests that work really well. One is called a blood urea nitrogen. And what that measures is the nitrogen waste. Let's talk about what would your blood, your kidneys are trying to clean out of your blood. When we are made of protein.
Uh-huh.
We are a big hunk of protein.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of turnover in our protein. The old proteins have to be taken out and replaced by new proteins. And when they're metabolized, there's this nitrogen waste. We don't need the nitrogen. It's not good for us. It gets in the way. We just got to get it out of our body. If it gets too high, if we get sick, and that high levels of nitrogen is ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so ammonia is toxic.
Yes.
We can't have that much ammonia in our body. So our body gets rid of the ammonia, mostly in the form of urea. Urea is less toxic than ammonia. So there's this whole system of quenching the ammonia and turning it into things that are less toxic, but we still got to get rid of it. So our body gets rid of the leftovers of protein. That's
mm-hmm.
really what it is. So you want to check how good the kidney's doing. We're going to measure the protein residue. How much protein is left in your body? If your kidneys are tip-top, there should be very little. If your kidneys are running slow, then it'll pile up.
And eating too much protein can make them run slow?
Yes. Eating too much protein will make it harder for your kidneys to do their job because now there's just more residue to have to deal with.
So there's like a lot of information out there that says you should have 40 grams of protein every meal.
It depends on who you are. If you're in kidney failure, no.
What if you're just
that's
like
a regular
healthy individual?
Yeah, you're good. You got all this extra kidney capacity. Remember I told you we only really need, bottom line, is 10% of our kidney. Now, you should not live on 10%. If you've gotten down to 10%, you're on the hair edge of being able to stay alive, right? You're living on the edge of a cliff with somebody pushing you.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea. So what you want to do is you want to create some little more extra wiggle room so you can do stuff. So you want to back that up and get to the highest percentage you can. 100% is where I vote 100, right? If you got 90, you're good. You got 80, not so good. You got 70, you're starting, you know, you got a little danger here. So what the doctors have done is they've taken these numbers and they've assigned levels of kidney function to them. There's, you know, level where everything's running great, and then there's level one kidney failure, which I can't tell you where it is. It's somewhere in the high percentages, but it's still level one. And then level two and level three, if you're running 50% kidney function, you feel fine, everything runs great, but you're a level three-ish level of kidney failure.
Mm.
Now, I don't really put much stock in saying what level of kidney failure you're in, because all people ever hear is the word failure,
mm-hmm.
and it freaks them out, and it makes for panic decisions, a bad idea. What we want to do instead is talk about, you know, your kidneys aren't working well, we want to get them working better, and what can you do to get them working better, and start talking about that. One of the things, this is a tiny little thing, really, is to regulate your protein better. If you're living on protein and doing a carnivore diet, and you're running 50% kidney function, you're doing the wrong diet.
Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to switch over to some, you know,
paleo.
Fruits and vegetables and
mm-hmm.
some carb, right? Paleo. Then have it all work better.
Get some variety.
Yeah. These are good questions.
Mm-hmm.
They tempt me to vary off and start jumping into paleo diet benefits or carb.
Well, maybe that can be our next episode. We can do a carnivore and a paleo comparison.
And who is good for what diet and how it works?
Yep.
Let's stick with the kidney failure stuff right now. So what we want to do is we want to make sure we keep some time to talk about how to keep your kidneys in the best shape possible.
Yeah.
There's an element I didn't answer, though. You said, what test can you run? I said a blood urea nitrogen, but no one calls it that. It's called a BUN.
But, okay.
Or a BUN.
Mm-hmm, BUN.
Right.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, a BUN. So the BUN should be running around 15. That's ideal. The normal range runs from like 6 or 7 up to 30-ish, 29, something like that. So it's a pretty wide range. And people are running on the low side. They tend to be vegetarian.
Mm.
And they're just running too low a protein. They should eat more protein.
Yeah.
And then people who run on the high side,
people
they're
running... People are running low in phosphorus. Should they be eating more protein?
Not necessarily. Phosphorus is part of bone.
Okay.
And so usually if phosphorus levels are running high or low or something, there's some problem with bone metabolism.
Okay.
That's where it's coming from. Now, if it's running high and there's kidney failure going on and that kidney failure is significant, then your kidneys aren't doing their job right. And the phosphorus is tending to pile up, or phosphate. And so what you're going to need to do is take a phosphate binder and bind it up. There are some drugs that'll do it. There's also some natural stuff that'll do it. They both work. But that's the thing you have to do. The other thing I mentioned earlier is if you got some level of kidney failure, you know, you're getting towards the higher levels. 5 is the highest level. But let's say you're 4 or 5, or maybe even 3. You'll start having acid pile up, and your acid levels will start going up. Now, the way to check that is to check your acid quenching part of your blood, which is the bicarb. Bicarb is a buffer. And if you're running acidic, it quenches the acid. If you're running basic or alkaline, it quenches the alkaline. It keeps things in the center. Except for if you run a blood test, it'll never say bicarb. You don't ever see the word bicarb. Because how they call it, it's weird. They call it carbon dioxide. The actual number is only 10% carbon dioxide, 90% bicarb. It's a funny thing. It's a quirk of the system. It's what they call is a misnomer. The name is wrong. In other countries, they'll call it bicarb. I get the test from Mexico, they always call it bicarb. But here in the United States, we always call it carbon dioxide. But what it really is bicarb. And so if your bicarb levels are low, then you got a problem. And how you solve it, that is you get too much acid in your system. And how you solve it is you, what?
Baking soda.
Yeah, you take bicarb.
Yeah.
Yeah, baking soda. Arm and Hammer. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to
sodium bicarbonate.
Sodium bicarbonate. No, it tastes bad. And so if you really don't like the taste, it's not that bad. There's some worse stuff, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, around here there at least. So if you don't like the taste of it, you can take it in capsules, but now you have to take a handful of pills.
Yeah, now you have.
Because capsules only have a little bit, and you need a lot mostly. You need like a teaspoon or a tablespoon, something like that, depending on how bad it is. Now, I usually start people off on half teaspoon doses or maybe a teaspoon dose, and then we just eventually check the blood again and see what the carbon dioxide levels are, which is really the bicarb. And then if it's they're up in the normal range, then we're good. We've adjusted it. So everyone with kidney failure is going to need to do this. You're going to need, here's the thing. When your organs don't work right, you got to get smarter.
Yeah.
You got to use your brain to think like your organ.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start thinking like a kidney. If I were a kidney, what would I do?
Defer bind up everything to the liver.
Get it out, right? So there you go. You got to start binding phosphate.
Uh-huh.
And I would start balancing the salt levels better. So you start balancing the salt levels.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about salt. What about salt? So salt can either go high or it can go low, depending. What you have to do is keep an eye on it and just eat enough salt to make sure your salt is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Often, people eat too much salt.
Mm-hmm.
But not always. A lot of times, you don't eat enough. It can go either way. So in the world
depending
around
on how
us,
your body metabolizes it,
yeah,
too.
In the world around us, people eat too much salt. In the little world that I live in here with all these naturalistical people coming into me, half of them are low.
Because they're so conscientious about
it. They're so conscientious about their salt, they end up coming up low on it.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, you check the numbers. Lab tests are so helpful with this. And then make lifestyle adjustments to compensate for what your kidneys are doing. Sometimes you got to decrease the protein in your diet. Sometimes you got to increase it. Sometimes you have to decrease the salt. Sometimes you got to increase it. Anti-inflammatories tend to be helpful generally, because we don't want those glomeruli to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is we want to keep everything calm and peaceful and healthy. So
turmeric.
Turmeric and anthocyanins and vitamin C and whatever, stuff like that. Those are the things that tend to help our kidneys work better. Alpha lipoic acid is another specific one. Fish oil is another specific one. Vitamin D is another specific one. Now, vitamin D is a two-edged sword, as always the case, because if you got it too low, it's bad. You got it too high, it's bad. So you got to regulate the vitamin D and put it in the right
levels.
So notice how I didn't tell you how much vitamin D to take, because it varies so much from person to person. Some
and if you live
need,
in Fairbanks, Alaska, you need a lot.
Yeah, because we don't make any outside most of the year.
Yeah.
It's not until the middle of May right now, by the way, that you start making it, except for there's still piles of snow on the ground.
Right. But we're getting the like reflective light in our windows. And,
that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Once
it needs
goes,
to be direct?
It has to be direct. Once the light goes to the windows, it's lost too much energy and it will not make vitamin D.
Dang.
You have to go outside.
You have to go outside?
And have the sun shine on your actual skin.
And eat right and exercise?
Yeah, there's that. Or just take vitamin D. That's the easiest way to do it. That's what I tell everybody to do is take
just
vitamin D.
Just a drop or two?
Yeah, yeah. It's really not much. You know, it's easy, it's cheap. As vitamins go, it's a simple, easy thing to do. Here in the north, we actually, we really absolutely positively need to take it. In the Southlands, it's possible, theoretically possible, you could get it from being outside in the sun. But then again, you get too much sun, now you got sun cancer, right? So there's, skin cancer. So there's that. I mean, it's always something, right?
It's always something. So is there helpful herbs? I know there are.
Yeah, there's a bunch of herbs. Again, the same list of herbs really good for, anti-inflammatory stuff for everything.
Uh-huh.
Is also helpful for the kidneys. There's a few specific kidney herbs that are really good. Let me talk about those specific ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one it's calm and peaceful and soothing. And
it's so bright pink. It's so pretty.
It's trippy.
Yeah.
Another one that's particularly good is, and I'll use the common names here, is parsley.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you'd go to, in the old days, when I was growing up, I went to a diner.
Uh-huh.
And bought breakfast. There would always be this green sprig.
Garnish of parsley, yeah.
You know, and it turned out that everybody just threw it away.
Oh.
You should eat it.
Uh-huh. To stimulate your kidneys.
Yeah, it's good for you. It turns out to be, the reason why it's on the plate is because it's healthy.
Uh-huh.
It's a
thing.
And
it looks pretty.
Yeah, and you it glows with health because it's a plant that's really, really good for your kidneys and your organs in general.
Uh-huh.
So if you ever go to a restaurant where they have parsley, always eat it.
Ask for extra. Can I get extra parsley garnish, please?
Yeah, okay, there's parsley. There's also dandelion.
Teratoxicum.
Same story.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a horrible tasting herb that's really good for you.
Is that better in tea or in extract? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tea is better for things that are water soluble. The tinctures are better for things that are alcohol soluble. And so some things are similar between the two. They're both alcohol and water soluble. And some things are limited to one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, getting a decent thing for either of them, but you're going to do better if you really want to squeeze everything you can out of it, as you do some stuff as teas and some stuff as alcohol-based. Mm-hmm. Mostly what they're doing with the stuff that we carry here is they make a tea, and then they do an alcohol extraction.
Yeah.
And they put them together in the bottle. That's both,
yeah,
by the way. And then they preserve it with a little alcohol is
extra
what they do.
Extra strength.
Yeah, and so it's stronger. Mm-hmm. And they also concentrate it slightly because then it's cheaper to transport and you get bigger bang for your buck. So nobody wants to drink, like, you know, 4-ounce glass of this stuff. People would rather do a teaspoon dose and mix it with a little bit of water. Then you rehydrate it, and then it's more palatable.
Yeah.
That's how to do it.
So I know we're going kind of backwards on this one, but if you might be experiencing kidney symptoms, what does that feel like?
You feel toxic. You feel achy. You feel tired. You feel foggy. And most of the time...
You hurt?
Yeah, mostly. Here's the thing. Let's talk about reality. Most of the time, the way this is found is you go in because you don't feel right, and the doctor runs a test just to see what's going on, and bam, it comes out. That's how it shows up. The number one cause...
But do they specifically test for kidney, or do they test for, like, an inflammatory marker? Then they're like, oh, this is high, so maybe we check this.
They'll do a regular chemistry.
Okay.
A regular chemistry, a blood chemistry, has two kidney tests in it. One's the BUN, the other one's a creatinine.
Creatinine.
We didn't talk about creatinine, but creatinine is actually the better of the two tests.
And that can be tested in a dipstick, too.
It can. It's better in blood. The blood test is more accurate. So there's that.
Okay.
So, let me just keep it simple. Usually it's found because people feel sick for whatever reason, and then the doctor runs a routine chemistry. And then the routine chemistry shows that the kidneys have a problem. And then the doctor will either run further testing to figure out why the kidneys are failed, or they'll refer to a nephrologist that's an expert in kidneys and have the nephrologist do the specialized testing. And most of the time, it's a better idea to have the nephrologist do it because they just do it all day long and they're just better at it.
They're better at interpreting those types of labs.
Yeah, well, not me. You know how I am. I like labs. I run all this stuff anyways. I'd rather know what the heck's going on myself.
All the time.
Yeah. So, you know, if you got some doctors enthusiastic about doing this, we do a lot of kidney stuff here.
Yeah.
We have a lot of kidney patients, and we've helped a lot of people stay alive as they're going through this process, keeping them out of having to need a kidney transplants, or if they're going into kidney transplants, keeping them healthy so that the transplants are successful,
mm-hmm,
and there's no rejection. That's the downside to doing a transplant, is there's a risk of your body rejecting the transplanted kidney. And so we want to keep people as healthy as possible so that won't happen. And knock on wood, we've had this really no rejections.
Yeah.
Not a single one ever, not my entire career. No one's rejected a kidney. And you never know how it's going to go, but boy, we do everything we can to make sure that the kidney takes. The other thing to consider on this thing is, really, we don't want to shortchange everybody's listening and make this thing seem like it's too technical. Fundamentally, it boils down to eat right and exercise.
Always.
It does, for real.
Always.
Because your kidney is not an isolated unit in your body.
No, it's connected to the circulatory system.
Yeah, it's connected to everything else. So if your liver isn't working well, then your kidney isn't working well. And if you're, you know, whatever, your heart isn't working well and your kidney isn't working well.
Huh.
So there it is.
Wow.
If you can think about how the body works, and then you just kind of logic your way into what could this be based on what the body does, and you could a lot of times figure out how to fix things. It's like everything else in life. You just kind of pause for a second and think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Looper, I think we might be out of time for this episode.
Ah! But, there's more to say.
Oh, as always, episode 2 pending.
All right. Thanks, Haley.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy.
This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.